Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called Red Cosmic Skywalker, and it is the 13th day of the Red Dragon Wave spell, and it is the rhythmic moon day 15. I needed that to be correct because it wasn't last episode. It's funny when the 13 moon calendar becomes like the Gregorian calendar in the sense that I just don't really know where we are. But Christmas is helpful for getting me situated in the Gregorian calendar. I know what date it is now. It is the 27th of December, Red Cosmic Skywalker, Rhythmic Moon 15. And the other reason I kind of paused is because I also know, not always by the number, that today is the first day of the third week of the Rhythmic Moon, and it is going into the West. The place of transformation, the West. And I can't believe it's already the third week of the Rhythmic Moon, because I remember talking about the rhythmic moon in its beginnings, and I'm just in such a time warp of manual labor, which is really cool. It's not really different than a meditation retreat, except I'm always moving my hands and lifting things and so on. But in terms of just shutting out every other kind of world activity and being fixated on what is exactly in front of me, it works pretty powerfully, and it screws up my concept of time. Time is just flowing by, and I guess that's why it's kind of astonishing to me. I'm not even sure I'm correct. Is it only the second week of the rhythmic moon? I mean, wasn't I just talking from the outset about what the rhythmic moon means, and that it's a time when you might like to listen to music? I remember like the first day of the rhythmic moon, I was dancing sort of madly on my own in the house where I live, and which is empty of furniture, so it really is like a dance hall. And I thought, oh, it's because it's the rhythmic moon, but it's hard to believe that it's been 13 or 14 days since that moment, which is also true that the Red Dragon Wave spell has passed in my mind sort of quickly. But it was a difficult time, I thought, so I'll have some commentary on that. Let me organize my thoughts rather than being kind of sprung into the West here, a bit of a chaotic and intense exposure that comes when we get to the blue Western week. Always, I like to kind of refer to it as the PMS week of our 28-day moon cycle, where things are churning because they are emotional. We are watery. We are water fixated, meaning we're looking at the watery parts of our lives, which are the ones that are fluid and changing, the ones that are in motion, not static, not dense, nor air, but just this kind of, I always refer to it as the alchemical change from going from air the second week to earth the final week, the fourth week. So we pass from air to earth through this charge time of water, and that water is the transmutation of something that is sort of absent and airy into physical matter. And it's work to get from air to earth. So we do the work in this week. And I think that this week then is always sort of the churning, burning moment within the rhythmic moon or the overtone or the resonant. In other words, when we pass through the third week in the West, we are asked to endure more, to be more agitated, to have more drama or operatic experiences, because I guess I'm trying to get away from drama as kind of a pejorative, but more like the increased accelerated action phase, which can be emotionally charged or full of small fears and anxieties, just things moving towards a higher fever pitch or uproar. And that's operatic to me, like just having this moment where things are starting to really be inflamed and awesome. And here we go. Here's what will happen, you know, in this time. I'm not being specific, but just your rhythmic moon will kind of have its apocryphal moment. That's how I feel about the week in the West, is that we kind of build toward it as if it were the breaking wave in our wave spell. And so everything gets more fixated or charged and kind of wrought, and in the intensification of feelings or the speeding up of actions, there just is, I'm going back to that word, a lot of drama. So it's upon us. And so again, the rhythmic moon, part of the reason for me that it's kind of just disappearing, you know, like sand through the hourglass, but also me like on sand that's spilling out from under me, or I'm sinking in it. It's just like I am so in a rhythm that I'm not really in other ways of perceiving. You know, my rhythm is the same every day. I wake up, I walk my dogs, I work really hard physically without really sitting down for 10 to 12 hours. The dogs get walked a second time. I forage for food somewhere. I caffeinate. The caffeine wears off. I caffeinate a second time. I fit in some kind of hygiene ritual. And then it's bedtime again. And there's a lot of darkness because it's winter. It's the depth of winter or what have you. The beginning of winter, the depth of solstice. So that's a rhythm where I'm just like, I'm out of daylight. I'm starting to wane just because the time is darkening. And all of that rhythmic behavior is nice because it feels automated in the best way. I'm just responsive to darkness and light cycles. I'm responsive to my body's virulence and exhaustion. I'm responsive to my dog's needs and also the simplicity of like having to eat just to sustain all this physical activity. And so all of that feels like it's not very emotionally charged. It's pretty regulated by instinct or, again, the more automatic or automated or regulated rhythmic parts of my being. And so I'm not bouncing all around with like different ideas and charged up to do this thing, but wait, I'm going to pivot and try this. Like I just have a lot of ingrained discipline and regulation right now. And you have your version. You're probably not like as literally redundant as I am every day, but you can notice if you have this perception that you're doing things in a rhythmic attitude. And what does that mean to you? Like, I can't know what it means to you, partly because I'm so tunnel visioned in what it all means to me, or the meaninglessness actually of what I'm doing, because I'm doing things over and over rather than, you know, being inspired and creativity is not really flowing out of me. Like, I had all my creative visioning in the Overtone Moon, and now I'm just performing. And I love the word performative, because there is a way it's thrown into all the discourse now. I mean, you know, just about societal discussions use the word performative a lot, but I love using the word maybe incorrectly, where I'm just like, I'm really performative. It means that I'm performing a lot, my duties. I'm just reacting to having a to-do list, and I'm doing it. To me, that's how I describe being performative, and I think that's very rhythmic. So you might be performative in some way right now in response to a to-do list that you created in an earlier moon, or you found delivered unto you in some kind of psychic way, and you just have to get things done. And there's not a lot of feelings to come through and interfere. I have feelings sometimes. I will burst into tears on occasion, or I get this surge of remembrance of feelings, like back when I felt more, because I think the rhythmic moon for me, or the tone, takes a little bit of the feeling state, the emotional yearning, the wistfulness, like the pause. Like, there's not a lot of pausing now. I just keep going. And when I don't always keep going, and there are spaces in between activities, or there's choice, like maybe I'll do this instead of being regulated. No, I always do this now. When there is more spaciousness, there's more room to have a response that I think is deeper. And in the depths of me, is a lot of like turgid feeling and sonorous feeling, real feeling. So I don't think that the rhythmic moon, our tone, has to be superficial, but I just think when we get rhythmic or automated or regulated, we don't do that kind of drama that, you know, I was sort of, I mean, wasn't I saying that there was drama in the third week in the West, but there's not a lot of drama in the rhythmic tone. So drama, which can elicit feelings like sadness or happiness, ecstasy, that's followed by the falling off of ecstasy, which can feel like being forlorn or distressed, those feelings aren't as present right now because of the rhythmic tone at hand. But guess what? Other aspects of natural time will bring feelings to the surface anyhow. That was a long diatribe. I think I'm perhaps over-caffeinated still. So the rhythmic moon will neutralize a lot of erratic feelings and behaviors. But being in the Red Dragon wave spell could have plenty of feelings, and I'll want to explore some of that in a moment. Being in the third week in the West of the rhythmic moon could plunge us into feelings or just evolution. Like, wherever this rhythm is taking us, it could be a faster rhythm or it could be a louder rhythm. But, you know, there'll be an intensification of the rhythm and everything else represented in this time. I'm not sure it's going to be the most emotional third week in the West. Like, there are a lot of the 13 tones, maybe some drive us more towards feeling states than others. The lunar tone has got some feeling state to it. It's tidal, like the moon. I think the overtone moon can be charged up with feelings, passionate feelings, feelings of, you know, anger, or confidence. You know, suddenly the elation of like, no, I know what I'm doing. I feel it. And I think that the solar moon can be kind of fiery and hyper. And the planetary moon can be kind of deadening and depressing or stultifying, which those are all feelings of dejection or disappointment. It's not the only feeling you can get in the planetary tone, but just like that reminds me of the planetary tone, like, ah, there's a cap on this. Oh, I belong on the planet. Oh, yeah. And then spectral, super emotional potentials there, falling apart. Everything's falling apart, you know, and my heart is broken, but you could also fall in love. But there's just a lot of free fall, kind of disruptive or chaotic change, and that affects us, our feeling state. And then the cosmic time isn't maybe as feeling state, but one of the feelings, I guess it is a feeling of tranquility or calm and ease in present time. Presence, being present, is peaceful. What was I doing here? This tangent was about the rhythmic moon being in the third week in the West and how you might not expect some of the same kind of wide-ranging or volatile feeling states in the rhythmic moon, even though it's the third week in the West, as in some of these others that I described. I was just kind of riffing, like, yeah, there's feelings that come through the tones. Let's find out. We have 7 days to find out how many feelings come out in the rhythmic tone. Wild. I guess I want to talk about the Red Dragon Wave spell and then kind of do the pivot towards White Wizard, which will begin tomorrow, the 28th of December, a Monday. Today is Sunday, and it's the last day of the Red Dragon Wave spell, and it's a good day to be kind of caught in between in the transition, crossing from Red Dragon to White Wizard. Red Dragon, we have a sense of the fulfillment of the time deeply. Whenever we're in the cosmic tone, I believe that we are in a transcendent state from the wave spell we just experienced. Like, it was challenging, it was new, it was novel, it was unfamiliar, it was had its challenges that were direct for each of us, and we overcame them at a certain point, and the challenges started to be something that by overcoming them, we were lifted up higher, and we had altitudinal loft, and we could see things more clearly, and we felt closer to God, and all of these evolutions daily moving through the tones of the wave spell are delivering us today to a place of transcendence where it's just true that we're not going to be in the Red Dragon time anymore now. It was 13 days. This is the 13th. So there's a salutation and a completion that happens now. But this day also, I think it's ushering in something that begins tomorrow. It's creating space and presaging to a bit. I mean, it's not even about the future. The future is now. Now we are transitioning into the next wave spell, and we can feel it stirring, and we can observe discomforts today that are indicators of what we're going to be working on throughout the wave spell. And then in 13 days, when it's the end of the White Wizard wave spell, all those discomforts will be neutralized in some way. They will be expressed. They will be overcome. They will be integrated. And we will be in a white cosmic world bridger, anticipating the blue hand wave spell starting the next day, and we'll be able to say, well, this white wizard wave spell, I have transcended the challenges and the lessons that it brought to me. And that is the rhythm of the 13-day wave spell, and particularly how we finish, complete in the cosmic day. The action completes in the crystal day. I'm just very fervid about that. Like, we have a resolution yesterday. My wave spell was resolved yesterday. This is the wave spell of birth, about mothering, divine mother and, you know, three-dimensional mother or whatever the hell, terrestrial mother. And I watched in the midst of all this super, like, patriarchal labor that I do. I mean, not to be sexist, but just like, you know, I'm such a guy right now. Just, you know, the carpenter, you know, the parable of me, it looks pretty male right now. And so going through this wave spell of feminine creation, I just had to be watchful and be like, is that going to surface for me? Or am I just like You know, I'm doing a lot of demolition. So am I just, you know, just destroying things? What's creative here? And finally, on Yellow Crystal Human yesterday, the day after Christmas, I had the conversations with people in my life, women, where I was completely brought into the maternal space of recognizing myself as a mother. And like, without getting into the details of that, it was just like talking to other mothers about mothering, about, you know, creating life, younger women, and you know, just the recognition that I'm severely identified as a mother. Like, I don't have any children in my home, but my role as the mother of the children that are out of my home, it becomes a fixation at certain times. It's meaning not obsessive, but just like so obvious I'm a mother. And so my red dragon wave spell on the crystal day of resolution, which is also the day of gathering, reminded me really starkly that I have recognition for being a mother. And, you know, maybe I also made time to recognize that I have a mother, because I do. And I talked to her on Christmas Day, because she and I alone, unless you were out there doing it, can celebrate it as Jose Arguelles' Mayan birthday only coincides with Jesus Christ's birthday once every 52 years. So that just happened, and that'll happen again, you know, a long time from now. And Jose Arguelles is not really, to me, absolutely not on a par with Christ, the mythic version of Christ, but he brought me the message, you know, sort of the theosophical message of natural time, or let's just call it the Mayan astrology or spirituality that we follow here. And this is more important to me than biblical teaching. So it's a pretty big deal to honor him. And I didn't do it any specific tangible way, but I did talk to my mother, who was his original student. And I said, it's President's Day, President of the Galactic Federation, which I think is one of the terms that they use for the way that we collectively can connect to the Mayan ascendant masters in the sky. Okay, so let's see, what is left to talk about? Well, there's definitely this notion of introducing the white wizard wave spell. Very, very favorably prejudiced to the white wizard wave spell. I love White Wizard, this depiction of the most sort of basic, obvious shaman, the one that has a healing sanctuary that you can enter to be cared for, to be physically remedied, to be paranormally treated, you know, getting rid of entities and dark spirits, and being infused with the eye of God, because the hieroglyph of White Wizard is that. It's the tent with the eye of some kind of almighty deity hovering over, or peering in, or the tent itself just is positioned to invite that divine influence in for healing. So the White Wizard totem is one aspect of sorcery or mastery. We have Red Skywalker, like today, which is about the prophet. That's an important role, connecting us from earth to sky. Blue Eagle is, of course, all of bird life, but Blue Eagle is also ourselves in that really visionary place, where I don't think we have our hands on or creating healing spaces at all. We're lifted off and far gone, but we see the world from above, and from that place we can see the future, or we can see the solution to where we're stuck. and it is sort of a higher mind place, a godlike observation that takes over. And that's a shamanic, a kind of a shaman. And then, well, that's enough, right? So we have Red Skywalker, White Wizard, and Blue Eagle in a row, and right now we're heading for White Wizard, but I think White Wizard just sort of becomes the most obvious, potent healer, seer, master of remedy, mistress of remedy. And it was the jaguar shaman for the Maya who wore the coat of the jaguar, which looks like a leopard. And because the spotted coat was, or the cape, you know, wearing the skin, the hide of the leopard, was how the White Wizard or the jaguar shaman was depicted. It was considered that those spots of the fur were all the stars in the sky. And so the White Wizard shaman is also one with mastery of an understanding of this whole system of aligning ourselves with star cycles, which we do, I think, a little blindly. If you're like me, I'm not following Western astrology at all. I'm following Mayan astrology, but Mayan astrology is curated cold from observation of the stars. I'm just not archaeologically savvy enough to know what they, you know, what about the stars informed what we study here. But it did. One thing, I mean, I will mention it periodically, is, you know, that the Maya study the stars without a telescope, but they would create a sling in a portal, a window that looked into the starry night, same place, fixed. And it would take like a couple generations of looking with their chin in the sling up at the sky to mark the changes in the stars. So they were completely astronomically aware and fixated and devoted, but I'm not. So quickly, though, the White Wizard wave spell will start tomorrow. And the reason I'm talking about it, because I can talk about it as it happens, but I'm talking about it at the outset, is a White Magnetic Wizard is tomorrow. White Magnetic Wizard was July 26, 2019. July 26, 2020 is Blue Lunar Storm. That is the year we're in. But the year prior to this one was White Magnetic Wizard. So this wave spell of 13 days, which will occur every time we have the Zolk'in, every 260 days we encounter this wave spell, imitates sort of the 13-year cycle that began last year. So I'm just trying to remind you that we are in a 13-year White Wizard wave spell. But now we're going to have a 13-day White Wizard wave spell. And I don't think it's like, oh, it's a minuscule version. I can have perfect augury of you know, my years to come at all. But I think it's an important touchstone to return us to the largest cycle that we follow, essentially, which is the 13-year wave spells. It's just nice to return our attention to that and think, well, okay, this day tomorrow, Monday, will replicate, imitate, echo last year in the 13 moon years. And so let it be that. Let it be that remembrance or consolidation of what last year's experience was for you. And I mean, what did happen last year, like in the middle of our Mayan year, COVID came, or sort of later, actually, the last third. But, you know, we talk about 2020 being the year, oh my God, it's almost over. But when we follow the 13 moon calendar, our years always start in July, late July. And so COVID was really the fulfillment of something that started, you know, more than a year ago in the summertime. And that's maybe a lot to conceptualize, but that's what I'm here for. That is what I'm here for. There'll be lots more to say. I have more to say than I thought, and I'm glad that I took some time to say it. And I'll be back pretty soon. You'll just have White Magnetic Wizard on Monday and Blue Lunar Eagle on Tuesday, And then Yellow Electric Warrior, which is one I will return with some more advancing insight into our third week in the West, which is, you know, sort of my fixation. And people have been contacting me about readings and then sort of fading away. I am absolutely doing readings in this time. They get fit in at a very particular sort of twilight time of the day, but they have been pretty potent because, once again, I'm freshly renewed into my 52nd year, and I think there is a pretty big aperture right now between me and some kind of clear line to the divine realm, just because, you know, one of the options for when you're 52 is you can just be going to heaven, straight to heaven. So the heavens are kind of open or accessible, and I think that's a great time to do readings. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself, and in Mayan we say, in Lakesh.